Okay, successful devotional life for busy women. Let's define our topic. How would you define successful?
Using your time correctly.
That's good.
Something fruit bearing.
All right. Devotional life. How would you define that? All right. We often think of devotional lives as a set time during the day, don't we? Or we can use other names: morning watch, quiet time. Or we can think of devotional life as a life that's devoted to Jesus Christ, a process, a growing process. All right, how would you define busy women? Yourself? Okay. I'm sure you know by now that life is seasonal. And most of us here have already gone through a lot of seasons, have we not? And for us, the busy, busy days of little children, being up at night, that sort of thing is already passed. However, I don't know your schedules, if you're working and keeping up a home and so forth, but that too will be seasonal. So as you can look here on your outline, we have divided this into two main parts: the devotional time, thinking of the set-apart time each day, and then the life of devotion. And the devotional time, or the quiet time, when we're seeking the Lord through the Word, is the starting point for the life of devotion. All right, let's talk about what's involved in getting to know someone. That's very good. I'm trying to get this microphone. Okay, getting to know someone. But how do we get to know someone? All right, and what would you mean by quality time?
Where two people can sit down and meet without interruptions, without phones ringing, that type of thing, and just talk.
All right.
Pray.
All right. So we've got two points under here: quality relationship and quality time. Let's first try to think of the quality relationship, which takes time. But what is involved in this time if it's going to accomplish what we want to get to know someone? What has to take place during this time?
Okay, being a good listener.
Very good. Okay, then in getting to know God, how can we be a good listener?
That's with the Word.
Pardon me?
Reading the Word.
Reading the Word.
Prayer. Asking God to open it up to you.
All right. So really, reading the Word is God speaking to us, isn't it? And prayer is
us speaking to God.
That's right. It's two-way street. Now, and it requires openness on our part. We know that God is open to us. That's not the problem. It's our total response to God, being real from the inside. And then Proverbs 13:4 always is a motivating verse to me in a negative way. It says, Proverbs 13:4, the soul of the sluggard desires but has nothing. But the soul of the diligent shall be made fat. Now, as we look back on our lives, can't we think of a lot of things that we've desired? Mm-hmm. But have we been diligent in seeking them? Maybe not. And so we haven't accomplished what we've desired. The soul of the sluggard desires but has nothing. And that verse scares me in the, again, in the negative sense. What would be a definition of diligence? But the soul of the diligent shall be made fat. How would you define diligence?
How industrious would be one.
Very good. Industrious.
Persistent?
Mm-hmm. That's certainly a part of it. Mm-hmm. Persistence.
Consistency.
Consistency. Excellent. All these things are involved. Yes. The dictionary says persevering effort. Or we could say perspiration effort. What is the opposite of diligence?
Laziness.
Yes. Laziness.
Neglect.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
Spasmodic.
Indifferent.
Indifferent. Very good. The reason I'm repeating all your words here is for the microphone. Very good. Now, Paul, Apostle Paul, in Philippians 3:10, said, "That I may know him." Philippians was written toward the end of his life. It was a prison epistle. His desire in knowing God obviously never waned. Isn't that a challenge? That I may know him.
Well, I think as we get older, we should know him better. You know, that's my desire. I've seen saints that have meant something to me, and especially reading some of the great saints and so forth. And thinking, oh, what a wonderful thing it would be just to be so natural, be able to talk about the Lord. It wouldn't have to be something you have to make yourself do. It's just something that's part of you.
Right. Matthew 12:34 says, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. So what is uppermost in our heart is what we share. With a lot of women our age, it's what?
Grandchildren.
Right. I'm not there yet. But, as you said, that this is our desire, that the Lord is so real, and out of the fullness of our heart, he just naturally comes out. And we really are in the golden era to have this time to spend in the Word, to spend in prayer, and to be using the hours of our day. Jeremiah 29:13. Anyone know that by heart? I know you'll recognize it. I'll start it off. And ye shall seek me and find me when?
You do it with all your heart.
All your heart. All our hearts. That's what he asks of us. All our hearts. Now, I don't know where all of you are in developing your time alone with the Lord. Someone mentioned working at it, but not yet an established habit. Maybe with someone it might be just a beginning. But either way, if it's just a beginning, or if it's a desire to be regular in it, or if you might want a fresh stimulus, the 7 minutes with God is just real down to earth, and it'll fit in with anyone's schedule. Anyone can spare 7 minutes, right? So, let me give this to you, and in your free time, read it. and you'll find it really applicable.
I want to put something here from a young fellow that we've been teaching, and he works in the warehouse next door to me, and comes over and we share things and talk some of these problems. And last week he came over, and he told me I had sincere ears, and I laughed and I said, I've never had anybody tell me that before. It was kind of a funny, you know. He says, "Hey, 19-year-old boy, what are you going to be doing to help me talk?" And I was just thinking, we need sincere ears in listening to God.
Yes, yeah, that's interesting.
And by quality quiet time, it's important to give God our prime time. Now, the prime time of our day might vary. It could, for a young mother, it could be before you plant your feet on the floor, just to reach over and get your Bible. Because if you get up, the little ones are going to hear. It could be after you're dressed and have a cup of coffee. Or it could be after your family leaves the house in the morning, and just sit down at the breakfast table without clearing the table, and just getting yourself another cup of coffee and just staying there. Or it could be getting to your job early and just sitting there at your desk. I know several who do that. Second Samuel 24:24 is where David went to the threshing floor of Araunah to bring back the Ark of the Covenant. And he wanted to offer sacrifices. And the farmer, and David said to the farmer, "I want to buy this. Buy these oxen or whatever and the wood from you." But the farmer, Araunah, wanted to give them to David. And David said, "No, I will not offer a sacrifice to the Lord of that which does cost me nothing." So this having an effective time with the Lord is going to cost us something. It's going to cost us getting to bed the night before. It's going to affect our social life. As we have to make that provision the night before in order to have an effective time in the morning. It's important that we are sold on this, that this is a firm conviction, or we're not going to stick with it. Paul, in Philippians 3:13-14, said, "Brethren, I do not regard myself as having laid hold of it yet. But this one thing I do, forgetting what lies behind and reaching forward to what lies ahead, I press toward the goal to receive the prize, which is God's call to the life above in Jesus Christ." Now, why is having a clear goal necessary to our sticking with it?
It gives us motivation.
Right. Gives us motivation.
This is the direction we need to go.
All right. Mm-hmm. Direction. Very good.
It's just like being on a diet. If you don't know how many pounds you want to lose, you probably won't lose any.
Very good.
If you don't have a real clear goal in mind of what you want to accomplish, then it won't be important enough.
That's right.
To accomplish it.
That's right. Then we also need to have a ready plan so that when we arrive at our, wherever we're going to be, well, even before having a ready plan, it's good to know where we're going to be sitting. you know, instead of wandering around the house or the yard, you know. But have in mind where we're going to be sitting and what we're going to be doing when we get there. Where am I going to be reading? What verses am I going to be going over? Who am I going to be praying for? So if we have all these things in mind, then we will not be wasting time. How do we overcome mental distractions when we attempt to read our Bibles and pray?
Well, one thing we've asked the Lord to help us there.
Yes.
Another is to get word clutter.
Well, but the things that go through them, oh, I need to get my husband's trousers out of the cleaners today. You know, oh, yes, hey, this would be a good thing for dinner tonight. These things that run through our minds. Oh, I need to call so-and-so.
Maybe you need to write those things down and get that out of the way first.
All right. I think that's what helps me at least. Mm-hmm. Have a pencil and a piece of paper with you. And when these things cross our minds, just jot them down. Cleaners, call so-and-so. And then it frees. Right, and then it frees our mind.
And don't let it so consume and distract us that we feel, oh, I shouldn't be thinking about that, because then you're giving it more time.
That's right. Uh-huh. Mm-hmm. Just jot it down. Mm-hmm. Any questions on that part of our discussion?
I'm just going to add to your little thing there that I use personal notes a lot. You can all your name with these little notes that you can stick on everything. And you're
yes,
down.
Yes.
Then have those and then just put it where you will fit, not forget.
That's
and
right.
Where you know it comes out when you go.
That's right.
Mm-hmm. And you always tend to keep around. You don't lose them. If you have paper there, mm-hmm. it'll fly off.
Now we come to living a life of devotion. I have 7 questions here on our sheet to help us in living a quality life for Jesus Christ. 7 essentials. Now, there are 5, 6, 7, 8. So, Audrey and Michelle, maybe you could take question 1 together. I thought if we each took a question and got the answer, then we'll go through the questions and that we'll be able to cover everything. Otherwise, I think it'll take too long. So you take question 2, question 3, question 4, question 5, 6, and Susan 7. Just look up the references, and then we will ask the question, and you give us the answer. First question, how can I maintain spontaneous prayer throughout the day? We want this to be a part of life, don't we? Not just pray in the morning, but... Okay, Audrey and Michelle? Not necessarily read the verses, but just give us the answer from...
Well, the answer that I get from the verses is you continually, like I have been asked for how I'm going to, well, someone may ask me, you know, a question. I have a question, and call upon the Lord. That's what Nehemiah did when he went to the king. The king asked him a question. And what did he do? He didn't give him his answer, but he did. He called upon God for the answer.
And that verse there, ladies, is Nehemiah says, with a quick prayer to the God of heaven, mm-hmm. I replied. Okay. Isn't that just priceless?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
So quickly, yeah. Mm-hmm.
And how would you answer that from Proverbs 3:5?
To trust in God, having that to maintain a trust, that trust in God, that you will also
maintain a trust throughout the day. All right, when we're up against something, that we call on Him. Okay, number 2. How can I let Him talk to me throughout the day? Who had numbers?
I have.
All right.
in Colossians it says to let the word of Christ richly dwell within you. And then, so I think that that's a real good reason to start off with reading the word in the morning, so that we really have that foundation and we have something to take with you throughout the day. And then it goes along with some talking about psalms and hymns and spiritual songs and singing with thanksgiving in your heart. And so I think that many times I'm singing and thinking songs during the day because it's part of my life. And I think that whenever I'm doing that, then I can remember that I also need to be listening at that particular time, because it reminds me of the Lord. And I do it when I'm praying during the day, too. Mm-hmm. I've gotten to where I thank God for all the nice little things that happen, even if it's something that's bad. And so that comes along, and I say, oh, thank you for being with me through this time, or thank you for the signal changing in times while I'm not late for my meeting, or whatever it is. Mm-hmm. And so I think that at the times that the psalms and verses come to us, that that's a time to just be quiet for a moment and let God speak to us.
Mm-hmm.
Then in Deuteronomy, talks about God speaking to us is not necessarily outside of us. It's not necessarily in the world that we're in the waves or the wind or the stars or the fear, other things. But God speaks to us from within our own heart, too. So we do have to remember to be in touch with our own spiritual qualities and our own personality and our own desires and wishes and hopes and fears and everything, so that then we can, at that time that we need a word from God, think at that moment to listen for his answer to us.
All right. Let me just quote these verses in Deuteronomy quickly. They're just so terrific. Mm-hmm. These words, which I command thee this. Okay.
For this commandment which I command you today is not too difficult for you, nor is it out of reach. It is not in heaven that you suppose you will go up in heaven for us to get it for us, or make it hear it, that we may observe it. Nor is it beyond the sea that you should say he will cross the sea for us to get it for us, and make it hear it, that we may observe it. But the word is very near you, in your mouth and in your heart, that we may observe it.
Now, how can the word be in our heart, so that it will be in our minds, so that we can observe it 24 hours a day?
All that memory.
Scripture memory. Mm-hmm. There is nothing that is going to pay off so great in your life as memorizing Scripture. It's the greatest investment that you can make. Now, when we think of knowing the will of God, what do we naturally think of? Is it not a vocation or some big thing? But that isn't necessarily the case. Knowing the will of God is a 24-hour-a-day thing. It determines my actions. It determines my attitudes. It determines what I do throughout the day. And having the Word of God written on the table of my heart, then, and along with the singing, the hymns, can so direct my actions and my attitudes so that we can walk in the Spirit in the will of God. For instance, knowing basic verses on having time with Him each day. Knowing basic verses on our response. 1 Corinthians 13, love is kind. Love doesn't get angry. Love doesn't seek personal advantage. Love forgives. And just on and on. Knowing the will of God is not something big, intangible, way off in the future, but it's right now. That's what's so beautiful about those verses in Deuteronomy. We don't need to wait until we get a certain stage of maturity.
Also, it's not up to somebody else to do it for us, too.
That's right.
It's right up to us.
It's right up to us. The Word is very nigh us, in our hearts and in our mouths, that we may do it. So, He can be talking to us throughout the day. How can I maintain a free spirit?
Romans 12, 20, the last two verses of 22, part of 22, blessed is the man who does not condemn himself for what, by what he approves. And to me, that says we can't keep telling ourselves, oh, I shouldn't, or I shouldn't do that, or I can't do that, or I feel guilty, because then you're condemning yourself, and you're not free to speak to the Lord or listen to Him.
Okay, repeat that part of that verse again, would you?
Blessed is the man who does not condemn himself by what he approves.
Yes.
And that just really jumped out at me, too, because I'm guilty of that.
would you say that self-condemnation?
Self-condemnation, yes. Mm-hmm.
And because you can't be free if you're hung up on the do's and the don'ts, and especially your own do's and don'ts.
Mm-hmm.
And then Hebrews is saying the same thing, except that it goes on and says, let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles, and let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us. So again, we can't allow these things to enter in and lose sight of what the race is, what's ahead of us.
See, if we're trying to run the race with a 40-pound pack, we're not going to be reaching the goal. Just a word here on this Romans 14:22. When I was first married, I worked in the office 5 days, Monday through Friday, and then we also worked on Saturday morning. So Saturday afternoon was the only free time that I had, which I used for laundry, cleaning, shopping, this sort of thing. But John, my husband, is a very outdoorsman, and he would like to use Saturday afternoon, say, to go fishing, to go shooting, you know, go out in the country. And so, and he would always invite me to go with him. And sometimes I would go. And then I would be thinking all the time, oh, when am I going to get my laundry done? Mm-hmm. When am I going to do Bible study? When am I going to clean? And then, so next Saturday then, I'd say, no, I think I'd better stay home. And then I'd be thinking, oh, you know, I really should have gone with him.
Yeah.
I'm not going to have this opportunity, you know, forever. Mm-hmm. And I just found myself being in this, condemning myself for what I was allowing myself to do. And then I came across this verse in Romans, and it's so freeing, as you said. Decide what you're going to do, what you feel is the will of the Lord in that hour or afternoon or whatever, and do it, and don't condemn yourself for what you're not doing. You like that?
Mm-hmm. Oh, I love it. I love it.
Okay, the fourth question is, how can I keep my relationships right with God and with people? Short accounts.
So looking over all those different Bible verses, I really like Ephesians 5:2, where it was, they walk in love. I know for myself, we're under time pressure. I've got crying all day long. We're all tight sometimes. And just take time and not, you know, get rattled or get fast. Everybody's running around mad or angry or something, you know, just try not to be part of that, to sit to some side of the time. Or when you're on the phone and you've got somebody you love to hang because you like to get rid of them, then lock the phone because it's tying up your time. You know, I just try to say a prayer for that unknown person on the other end. And I find that helps me a lot with not being short-fused, because it's easy to lose temper.
Yes.
And we're a short staff at our office, and it's not easy. We're all under it.
Mm-hmm.
I have another girl at work that we kind of both work together a lot, and we both would have stopped and kind of say, look at us, there's something wrong, and we're both really just meditating quietly, you know, we just have to shake our heads because no one else could understand what we are doing.
And Paul in Acts 24:16 says, and herein do I exercise myself to have always a conscience void of offense toward God and toward men. Is that term short accounts new to you, or are you familiar with it?
It's new to me, I think.
All right.
I think I know what it's saying there. I haven't read the verses, but if somebody wrongs you or you feel upset with someone, so we're get rid of this, don't let this build up and
correct.
Harbor resentment and so forth, but make it right with the person or with the Lord and with the person if he directs that way.
That's right. Because yeah. When we're out of sorts with a person, we're out of sorts with God, aren't we? And we have wasted that length of time until it takes us to get it right. And we don't want to live any of our day with wasted time, with wasted hours.
You know, I've read it by someone being a really good listener. Because I, bringing back what you did, it was very, very critical. And you didn't do anything right. And she was always better than you. And, you know, whenever she would come in the room, you would leave the room. And that was very difficult for me to handle because I didn't feel that she would be that much better than me or I'd be less than her or I should be her rug. And I have a friend that we've done a lot of praying on this. First person message would be good because I could keep it from bothering me. You know, I wouldn't let it pass. But it could grow like a thorn.
Yes.
You know, it really
yes.
could grow into a cancer thing.
Right. And Hebrews 12:15 speaks of the root of bitterness which affects many. And this is what we want to avoid. All right. Five, what is the Holy Spirit's activity in my daily life? Ruth?
Well, John 14:26 says that he's our helper and he'll teach us all things and bring to remembrance all that Jesus told us. It's the Holy Spirit that brings the scripture to us and that guides us and helps us. He's the one that when Christ said, I'm going to send to you when I go away.
That's right.
And Acts 1:8, we're told that we'll receive power when the Holy Spirit is upon us. And of course, all believers have the Holy Spirit. And as we're walking close to the Lord, and he also says, then you shall be my witnesses. It's not. And so being a witness is a relationship again.
That's right.
And the Holy Spirit is within and leading what comes out is from him. And then John 16:8 says he'll convict us of sin.
Mm-hmm.
The one that could be sinful in certain areas of our life and let us know that that's not pleasing to him.
Mm-hmm.
And the Holy Spirit is the producer of the fruit in our life. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, thankfulness. Gentleness, self-control.
Correct. Just